regular meeting of the Madison Plains Board of Education. Please take the roll.
Mr. Mason?
Here.
Mrs. Sidika?
Here.
Mr. Butts?
Here.
Mrs. Cooley?
Here.
Mr. Coburn?
Here.
Mr. Detweiler and I are also here.
Please stand for the same. Mr. Coburn, will you lead us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Just like to start by saying the Madison Plains Board of Education gives our condolences to the Parkland community in Florida that had a recent school shooting. It's actually Kelly Cooley's idea that we mentioned this, but I'd like to take a moment of silence just to think about what's going on there and appreciate all the freedoms that we have in this country. Thank you.
Mr. Mason, before you move on, I'd like to let the board know that the administrative team did meet this morning for about an hour and a half to review our safety protocols for our buildings. What came out of that meeting was a lot of recommendations that we get in touch again with the Office of Homeland Security. Again, they have vetted and approved our safety plans, which all schools in Ohio are required to submit. Those are forwarded on to the Sheriff's Office, which Madison County Sheriff's Office does have those plans. From that, we're looking at the facilities, how they're set up, our entryways, our camera systems, everything. And so we're reaching out to some vendors to see if they can provide some additional safety measures for us. As we get down that road and we start talking to those folks, we'll certainly inform the board as what we're looking at.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Keep us informed and whatever you need.
Okay.
I know we're all supportive of it.
I will.
All right, so we'll start with student recognition. Dr. Unger.
Each month we recognize on behalf of Congressman Stivers as Student of the Month, Congressional Student of the Month. This month's Student of the Month is a student that is familiar with everything with Madison Plains. You'll see him on the sidelines cheering a team on all the time. He's always up for a challenge. He works extremely hard in his academics here at Madison Plains, strives for perfection in what he does. Gage often is in the office engaging in debates with myself and a few others every once in a while. Always in a very professional manner, very intelligent. One example of this excellence is he decided his sophomore year that he would join the band and play the saxophone. Not only did Gage just start playing the saxophone, he worked on perfection in playing the saxophone. He is a member of our jazz band, member of marching band. He is going to represent Madison Plains at the OHC Fine Arts Festival here coming up in a few weeks. And will represent Madison Plains in the honor band. This time I'd like to recognize Mr. Gage Farmer for his commitment to Madison Plains.
I'm just dressed up. That's all that matters.
Students that I had called for our Rising Eagle students to recognize tonight, but unfortunately none of them showed. But I will discuss what the Rising Eagle is all about. The Rising Eagle student was created by our basketball coach, Coach Stewart. And what these students do is they come out at halftime, they're recognized, and at halftime they get to give the players, as they go in the locker room, high fives. They come out on the court, mid-court, they discuss their accomplishments. It's determined by their effort, hard work, citizenship, and achievement. As a Rising Eagle, the students receive a gift card to our book fair. They receive a signed basketball by the varsity basketball players. And, of course, the big thing is the bicycle the kids receive, which is the shocker, and it opens their eyes, and they're so happy. It's priceless. The four students that were recognized this year was first grader Savannah Miller, second grader Jalen Martin, fourth grader Tara Nagel, and fifth grader Colton Will. So those were our four students. Mr. Detweiler asked me to discuss our activity that we have planned this Friday. It's our first annual math camp that we're going to be holding here at the intermediate building. It's for grades 3 through 6. I can't say enough for the organization that our coaches, our academic coaches, put forth. Melanie Lenz, Christina Finney, and Allison Cummins have come together to put this whole camp together for us. And we have 150 students that are signed up to participate. We have 25 staff members and administrators that are going to be here willing to volunteer their time for the whole evening. It's going to be from 3 o'clock to 8:30 on Friday. We've had Melanie and Allison have had two fundraisers, two Candy Graham fundraisers to raise money for the math camp. PTO has donated all the food for the evening. Mrs. Grigsby and the curriculum department donated money through a grant to purchase supplies that were needed. And this is all free of charge to the students. So we're hoping this is just a starter, so next year we can bring in more students and possibly even expand to another grade level. What it's going to consist of, there's going to be different stations that will rotate through and do a hands-on geometry activities. And Melanie's here to discuss some of those stations and what's going to be involved.
Yeah, we're going to have 10 different stations, and the kids are going to rotate throughout those stations, consisting of anywhere from geometry twister. They're going to do an art project. They're going to create three-dimensional figures and build them, measuring angles. We have a Chinese jump rope that they're going to use to do, be like a shapeshifter and get into teams and do different things like that. So I think it's going to be fun for them. And it's all geometry based.
And if you could, we would love it if you guys would like to come and visit and see what it's all about. So you're more than welcome.
What time does it start?
3 to 3. It's 3 o'clock to 8:30.
And what was the date?
This Friday.
It's 23rd.
Where is the band held at?
The gymnasium will be in the gym and in the band room over there, so they'll float throughout all the stations.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody that's been presented already, like to go ahead and go, you may. Totally up to you. Welcome to step.
All right, so now is the public communication portion. I don't see any names signed up. Unless anybody has anything, we're going to move to the next section, which is the board work session. First is the board member recognition. All right, sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
These on the agenda. Yeah, sorry.
Sorry.
Corey Jeffers, 8960 Big Plains Circle Mill Road. I'm actually going to, I asked for 30 minutes with a lot of 10. I'm not going to take all of that this time. I had requested documents that unfortunately were not sent to me that are part of the investigation that I'm doing on my own. So with not having all of it, I don't want to do two different sessions. I'll ask for it now. I'd like a 30 minute speaking slot at the next meeting. I know you guys have to deliberate and come up with the time. But that also still shows lack of leadership in our administration. And I saw the resignation of Joe Henney. I would also still like to call for the immediate resignation of the superintendent so that we can get a new administration in here and start fixing everything that's broken. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. President, I just want to remind everyone that a public records request, we have up to 10 days to fulfill that request.
And just, you've been keeping us in the loop with that, and I know you have responded to some, I believe there's four or five items, you've
yep.
responded to half of them. But please, within the 10 days, respond to the rest.
We certainly will.
All right. So next is board work session. Board member recognition.
If I could, I'd have Mr. Miller come back up. The month of January is formally board member recognition month. We had a little bit going on last month, so I deferred that to this month. Mr. Miller was able to come up with a few things from the students and his doings, and he's going to share those.
We had several letters written to the board. The second grade class decided to do a poster to you guys.
This is a little card we'll talk about.
This is thank you for your support in the second grade. Education is the heart of everything. And they all signed it.
Thank you.
Real nice.
Oh, that's nice.
So thank you for all you do.
Yes, that's a special delivery.
We also have several letters that were written by elementary students, intermediate students that can be passed around. Some of them are individually individual board members. Mark, I think your daughter has one specifically for you.
Oh, Dad, get one.
So thank you for all you do. It's greatly appreciated. And hope you enjoy the letters.
Thank you.
I'm picking mine, and I'll pass it around.
Again, it's for folks in the community, if you've never been on the Board of Education, I saw Mr. Hunter here, he certainly knows. It's a thankless job, a lot of hours, very, very low pay, and that's not what you signed up for, but you are representatives of the community and do an outstanding job voicing their concerns. For that, I thank you and the administration.
So next we'll move to approval of board minutes.
Hey, Mark, real quick, I just want to say a couple things. First of all, I want to say great job, Gage. We're really proud of you. And I really want to say, Mr. Miller, I love the awards during the basketball games and the looks on those kids' faces. I think it's priceless. And I think we do so many great things like that every day here at Madison Plains. To highlight on a Friday night, of course, it's more fun. But thanks for all the hard work you guys do to make that so fun for those kids, because they really, I mean, you can see their faces and their parents and the excitement. I just think that it's really, really incredible, and not a lot of people get to see that. So, thanks. So, sorry.
You
didn't ask. I'm sorry.
No problem. All right, so next is approval of board amendments.
Mr. President, I make a motion that the minutes of the January 10th, 2018, and January 18th, 2018, February 8th, 2018 meetings be approved as written.
A second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mr. Butts? Yes. Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Carries 5-0.
Next, we move to department reports.
And we'll have Mrs. Grigsby come up and report out the curriculum department.
Good evening. Mr. Detweiler had asked me to give you an update on where things stand with our third grade ELA state testing results. Third grade is the only area that is state tested that happens twice a school year. And the reason for that being, of course, because of the third grade reading guarantee. So if you're not familiar with the third grade reading guarantee, Ohio states that students must meet a certain criteria in order to be promoted to the fourth grade. And they set that criteria through the state's ELA assessment. Students get three opportunities with the state assessment. There's a fall assessment, which we've had, a spring assessment again in April, and then there's a summer opportunity that we offer to the students as well. Over the past 3 years, as Ohio's been acclimating to this, they've done some things with, a few years ago there was a major change in the test, and then they've done some things with the cut scores for meeting the guarantee, and each year those cut scores rise a little bit, except for now they should be set. So the cut scores that are being used this year should be the cut scores that will be used for the foreseeable future. Just to say a word about our summer opportunity, for any students who haven't made the guarantee by the April test, which we get those results in June, we do offer summer tutoring for all of those students to come in to work with a teacher for 2 weeks. They're here multiple hours each day for 2 weeks. And then we give them the state test opportunity, but we also give them an alternate assessment that we're permitted to do through Ohio law so that they can meet that guarantee. And in the past years, that's been all we needed to do, was just a few kids, get them back for the summer, and that met the need. This last school year, with the highest level that they've asked for, we actually did two summer sessions. We had a teacher who did a summer session in June and early July, and then I did an additional summer session myself in August for those students who still hadn't yet met the guarantee. Then we actually did a two-week program for them at the beginning of the school year as well. So trying as many opportunities as we possibly can to help our students reach the third grade guarantee. So when I show you this data, there's three scores that you really need to know. The first one is proficient. So proficient is a scaled score of 700, and that's what's commonly referred to as just passing the test, right? But you don't have to pass the test to make the guarantee. The basic level score, which is a scale score of 672, actually meets the guarantee. So there's a lot of misconception in the public about that they have to pass the test in order to be promoted to fourth grade. They don't actually have to pass the test. They have to get the basic score on the test. There's a category below basic, but they have to get that basic 672 to be able to meet the guarantee. And then they also offer alternate test scores, and one of those is just the reading subscore on the test. So they can get a 44 on just the reading subscore, which means they don't have to get a 672 in order to be promoted to fourth grade. And we are also, the state permits, there are four different alternate tests that students may take. We offer the Terra Nova here. They're all very similar tests. We offer the Terra Nova, and so they can use that. And all of that's kind of time sensitive, because once you hit the summer, that's no longer included in our state report card promotion scores. So our promotion scores may look lower on a state report card than what they are because we did an additional August session and September session for those students. So just so that you're aware of that as well. Now I want to kind of give you a 3-year time frame here of where we've stood with this. So this is just the passing rate. And 3 years ago, the 2015-2016 school year, the first opportunity was given in December. We had 26% of the students in the first half of the school year pass the test in December. And then we had 53, and overall 53 by April. The following school year, what you can see is the state test was moved to November instead of December, so it was moved up a month, yet we saw an increase in the percentage of students who were passing the test, going 37% in November, and then 66% in April. The item that we're very happy about, we're very excited about for this school year is we increased that fall number to 46% and giving it in October. So there's been a lot of hard work that has gone on to make sure that happens. So we're really excited to see what that means for our students coming April, when we're already looking at nearly half of them having passed the ELA test at the beginning of the third grade. It's a testament to not only the work our third grade teachers are doing, but our second grade teachers are doing, and our kindergarten, our first grade teachers, and the programs that we've been putting into place to follow these kids from kindergarten to first grade to second grade to third grade. So that's something that we're really happy about. Another look at this is just looking at, like I told you, that those were just rates about passing. That wasn't even meeting the guarantee, just passing. If we look at their performance levels, what you'll see here is that red represents that lowest category. So when I compare 3 years of fall results, not even the spring results at the end of the year, what we see is, yes, we have more kids who are passing. We have less kids in the limited category as well, that lowest category. But we've more than doubled this school year our number of students who are scoring advanced and accelerated. And that's a big thing too, because it shows that our efforts aren't just paying off with the interventions we're doing with our lowest kids, but we're reaching our highest kids as well. And so that was something that we felt was important to share with our teachers and to share with you, is it's a testament to the work we're doing is reaching multiple kids at multiple levels. This is a graph that kind of shows you what meeting the guarantee has looked like. So as I said, 3 years ago, the fall results of just meeting the guarantee, before I showed you that 26% passing, 55% actually met the guarantee 3 years ago in the fall. We added an additional 14% in April. The thing to know about those is those were just a couple months apart because that first year was in December. So those were, you don't see as big of a gain right there because we were only working a couple months apart. And then we saw a larger, 31% of our students make it either over summer or through using an alternate test such as the Terra Nova. The following school year, you can see less of a need to use the alternate tests. More students were passing it by the April, meeting the guarantee by the April deadline. But that's where we saw that we weren't able not every student was able to meet that guarantee going into this school year. We actually, for the first time ever, had to retain four students based on the state's third grade guarantee, regardless of the fact that we had added in three additional intervention opportunities. So that's, you know, been weighing heavily on us and how can we do better. And so then this year what you see is a lot of work has already been put into it, but the work started with when these kids were in kindergarten, and in October, we actually had 71% meet the guarantee in October, compared to having 76% by April of last year. So we're excited for what that means for our students, and we're going to continue moving forward with that. All of that wouldn't be possible, though, without the hard work and commitment to improvement that our teachers put in here every single day. And we've put in, the district's put in a number of programs, and that's, which really speaks to leadership and understanding what it is that our students need. All of the things that I have listed up there plays into how we're able to achieve higher and higher results. We've reflected on this, we've looked at data. There is no one answer. There's no one thing that we did differently. It's been a combination of efforts over the last probably 4 years that include our hiring practices, making sure and identifying high quality staff, our instructional coaches, having our reading specialists who've been working with some of our most at-risk kids since kindergarten, our LLI program, the use of Mastery Connect, which is a data program that we have that it allows us to better analyze our students' needs and make better plans for what they need. Data Days is something we started last year after doing benchmarks. We pulled teachers for a half a day to really analyze their data and come up with very concrete plans as to how we're going to intervene both with our lowest performing students and our highest performing students. And our instructional coaches are instrumental in leading those days. New curriculum, all of those, all those acronyms down there at the bottom that are just part of how we continue to improve, all of those things play into it and they're all vital importance if we're going to keep moving forward with our students and with their performance. So thank you for your commitment also to all of those things that have been playing into that, because they certainly do. Each and every one of those things makes the difference.
Thanks, Aaron.
That's great.
I really appreciate what you have to say. Like, we get focused on the negative sometimes. This is really good stuff. I know our K-3 literacy last year was the highest in the county and higher than West Jeff and Westfall and Miami Trace. That's what when we come to the ballot in May and we ask for people's help, that's some of the stuff that we can point to and why that investment really does make a difference and why, you know, there's resources and all the hard work you guys are doing pays off. So we really appreciate that.
Thank you. Stay up here. Our next report you might want to touch on. But I would like to just add to that. The one thing that wasn't up there, any district that is having success academically, one of the key positions is your curriculum director. And I would put Karen up against any curriculum director that you can find in the state. She's that good. It's paying off for us. And for that, Karen, I thank you. And I have the good fortune of reporting out from the Academic Advisory Council, and I'll let Tula start.
Okay. So I was very fortunate to be part of the DLT from the beginning. So it's 4 years now. I started off as a parent on the district leadership team. I think it's because I harassed everybody about the education here and challenged a lot. So I was asked to be part of that, and I was very happy to be proud of that. The last 3 years, I've really seen a big difference. At first, I did not know what they were talking about. As you can see, there's a lot of acronyms that I had to learn. But what was nice is that all of the teachers and the administration and our director pulled together this awesome improvement plan. And it was really nice to see it come to our report card last year. Just like Mark's reported out, we were number 2 in Madison County, if some of you don't know that. And I was proud of that because I know there was a lot of hard work behind it, and I know that everybody was passionate. So everybody that was on that team was passionate, and that is why it worked so well. This year, we decided to join 2 committees together. We have the district leadership team, and then we also put the curriculum council teams together. And now we have one that's called the Academic Advisory Council. We had our first meeting in February. And it was, I was excited because once we started reporting out the TBTs, we were struggling with this a couple of years ago. And then when they put up their TBTs and the results and all of the work that they've been doing, everybody's like up to schedule or even ahead of schedule. And the teachers that are talking to these programs are like excited. It's like we're making big strides. And there were times in which a lot of the teachers struggled with this. It was very hard to get them to do these TBTs, all the work that they've been doing. But with this last meeting, it came very free-flowing. It was great. Everybody is up to speed. The other thing that we talked about is our goals. So our plan was for 3 years. Now we have to put an additional plan together. And we started off with 3 major goals. And everybody knew what we were talking about. Everybody understood what we had to do. There was great information, great data that helped us start talking about our goals. And there was so much discussion that we really did not finish our goals. We only discussed 1.5 goals with the intent that next March we're going to finish our goals. And these are goals that everybody needs to understand and come back every so often and report how we are doing against these. So we are putting programs towards these, and it's really excited. The enthusiasm, the passion, and everything that's taking place in that room was just wonderful. And that's the first thing I noticed with this first meeting. So Karen, thank you for leading it. It's really great work.
The only thing I would add, Mastery Connect, without the solicitation, the teachers in the group, which is the majority of the council, were very excited about having that tool. And whenever you implement something like that, you're nervous that it's going to be set aside. That wasn't the case. It's a valuable tool that they don't want to lose. And so those are the council meetings that you enjoy listening to, because we get to report back out to the board and the community that something that does cost us quite a bit of money is valuable tool that is working that our staff want. So I wanted to make sure you heard that loud and clear. Master Connect is something the staff likes, they enjoy, and they look forward to being able to use it even more fully. So, Karen, anything else that you took from the meeting that you missed?
No, I think I just would say it's been an honor to have Tula on that committee of these years because she is very invested in the process and she understands and can communicate what the work we have been doing because oftentimes what gets reported isn't the whole story. So I'm a member there who is active in the community who can share that information. It is important.
Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
Next is the Finance Committee report.
We met on February 13th. Bob and myself, along with Tim and Todd, I'll give a quick rundown. We'll be discussing later in our meeting in more detail. But we had a quick first meeting where we established our goals. Everyone's been provided with our agenda as long as with our minutes as well. We talked about one of our main goals is developing the 5- and 10-year financial plan, and along with that, triggers on when we need to seek additional revenue. We did not get into too many details as far as both of those plans yet. We've set up our next meeting that we're going to work on engaging community members to participate in the committee, bring 2 to 4 possibly community members is what we're talking. Community members to sit on that committee with us as well. We went over the preliminary results for the financial audit. We'll discuss that later on in the meeting. Other than that, it was a short and sweet meeting. We set up our meeting. We'll be starting in March as well, so we'll update in our next meeting. You want to add anything?
No, I would just add that, you know, like Mr. Pilgrim said, that we reviewed our goals, we reviewed our strategic planning. Which one of the goals in the strategic planning was to develop those triggers to determine when we seek additional funding or cut costs within the district. So that, along with the goals that were specified in the organizational meeting for the Finance Committee, which includes the audit review, is one of our main goals. So that was the biggest part of our discussion. That and establishing our schedule, which will be monthly, reach out to the community, just like Mr. Grover said. Hopefully, we'll reach out to up to 4 people. Hopefully, we get 2 people that decide they'd like to serve on this committee.
And after the, as far as the financial audit goes, it's something that will be available via the school district's website as well. So if the community wants to read over that and review that.
Correct. We also have a communication piece to the Finance Committee that we'll be working with the Communication Committee with as we get that type of information to push out to the Communications Committee. We'll most certainly do that. The audit will, once it's made public, will be made available to the public. Right now it's in draft status, so that's why it will be discussed publicly at this meeting. But it was a good first meeting, and moving forward.
Letting you know, the Communication Committee is set up to meet next week. We have a consultant that's coming down to talk about community outreach and communication to help us, hopefully, with developing our communication plan.
So next is the Treasurer's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Mason. I just want to point one thing out on our spending plan. We had a chance to review all the financial documents. Hopefully I was able to answer any questions you may have had leading up to the meeting. The one thing that I'll just point out is that if you remember, January was a month of concern for us. So I just want to point out where we ended up and sort of explain what we're looking at here. Right here highlighted is January. We had projected we'd have a balance of $489,000. We ended up with an ending balance of $669,000. That was due in large part to the early advance that we requested, and the county auditor graciously gave us an early advance on our property tax receipts. So that's why you see the line in blue is where we actually ended up. It's above the line in black, which is our estimation. And it's even also a little bit above where we were this time last year. That's because we normally don't receive that early advance. So that's what allowed us to make it through January more comfortably than what I had anticipated. But as you can see, the decline, next year is not looking good. So that's what makes the levy so important to us right now, is not only our ending balance, but our cash position throughout the year. Because when we reach those low points, it requires some financial strategies to be in place in order to get through those low times. So I just want to, you know, I said last time, I appreciate the support of the county auditor for using those funds early. And we're on the up and up now. So the rest of the year, we're in good financial position. Other than that, the only other item before you will be the increase to the permanent improvement fund. That will be for the purchase of the band forms. Unless anybody has any questions, conclude my report.
Thank you, Tom.
Mr. President, I make a motion that we, upon recommendation of the Treasurer, the Board approve the financial items H2 through H3.
Second.
Discussion? All right. Roll call.
Julie?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Bugs?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the Treasurer, the Board approve an increase to permanent improvement fund appropriations of $17,350 to cover the cost of the new band uniforms.
You just voted on that.
That's the consent.
Oh, yeah, I did. Consent. Oh, yeah. See?
And again, I wanted to clarify for everybody here, the community, and the board, we are using consent agendas. So
yes,
I want to make sure, and
me
before
too.
We move on, I might want to make sure everybody understood that when they voted yes.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Right.
Yeah,
the appropriation.
Okay.
That's related to the previous vote that's already happened. This
correct.
Is just appropriating it
yep.
to come from the
yep.
permit.
Okay.
Yep.
Sorry.
Yes.
In the future, can we just take off the recommended action?
Yes. But you're not
yeah,
very
but we don't need the motion language. I don't
no.
know. Right. You could just
it's like that in superintendent, but it's not like that in the treasurer.
I think it's board done.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. We certainly can.
We're doing the superintendent's report.
Great. Thank you very much. Right off the bat, Emmy Beeson, the superintendent Tolles, was scheduled to come tonight. She had scheduling conflicts, so we rescheduled for March 20th. She will be here. She's excited to present on Tolles to the board and to the community. The second item is a review of the investigation process for student complaints. At our last meeting, we got some information from our attorney that gave us some guidelines that we can consider. I've reviewed that. I don't have any issues with any of it, but I recommend that that goes to Board Policy Review Committee, which we're meeting next week, because that's where all new policies or changes to policies flow through. There's a lot of work that committee does to make sure there's no conflicts with any of the handbooks and things like that. So I want to make sure we follow that before we, you know, implement. I will ask that we just wait till next week, and then we present at the March board meeting.
All right.
Okay. Madison Plains Intermediate as a polling site. The Board of Elections in Madison County has consolidated several of their precincts. Our area is no different. They approached me a few months back asking if they could use our intermediate gymnasium or one of our facilities. We walked through the campus. They had issues with all of our facilities except for the intermediate gym. The only issue they had there was for the handle on the outside doors going to the parking lot. That's where they'd like for voters to come in and out of. They're willing to pay for the handles for those doors. So that part is not an issue. Issues I had were security and traffic flow. And they're willing to provide a sheriff's deputy to manage our traffic flow in the morning and the afternoon at our high volume for our parents and our buses and when the voters will be coming in. So that took care of that issue. And they're willing to have a deputy inside the polling place to make sure there's a clear separation between students and voters. So at that point, I felt very comfortable with what they were offering as far as security for us. And I just put it out in front of the board to make sure you didn't have any issues that I didn't think of.
Time. glad you looked into the traffic. I think that could potentially be an issue.
Yes, it took us a long time to get the right pattern and to get the right flow, and I didn't want anything to jeopardize that. So.
But in general, getting people that aren't usually in Madison Plains, I like that concept of having people get to have some familiarity with the school.
We had to do different parking that day. Is that how you're gonna...
The only thing we'll have to do is the handicap spots right outside the polling place will have to be dedicated to them. And they'd like for us to have a few spots alongside of that. So for a couple of our teachers may be put out, but we'll find a place close to where they're at. An administrator or two might get involved. So we'll take care of that.
Okay, that's great.
The Board of Elections does supply temporary handicap designations, so that's not something this school would have.
That's great.
Just to be clear, no cost to the school?
No, no cost at all. I was hoping for a discount on any levies that we had to run.
Yeah,
we didn't get that. The next item is the review of our EMIS systems. EMIS is our information system that tracks student and staff data for the entire district. It doesn't sound like a big deal. It is a big deal. The state of Ohio funding is based off of that information. So if it's wrong, your funding's going to be wrong. The Benson Consulting Group approached the Madison-Champaign ESC, which is our Board of Education, and approached them about coming into the schools and doing a review of your EMIS processing to see that you're getting all the funding you possibly can get. Their cost is $10,000, which that's a lot, but their guarantee is they will find that much in funding for us. If they don't, we won't have to pay it. So basically, we don't have a cost. So we did agree to that, and they're actually working right now. It gives us that comfort level that our secretaries, our EMIS coordinator, everybody involved in that process knows what they should be doing, what they should put in the system, so we're going to get full funding. So it's just an extra level of security blanket for us. And okay.
Any
the next item I have the misfortune, in my opinion, of publicly announcing that Mr. Penny has accepted other employment. Joe has been with the district for 11 years. He's been our director of technology. Most recently, he was moved up to the director of operations over multiple departments. Has done a very good job in that role. The value he brings to the table, one of the largest districts in Ohio recognized that. And Fairfield City Schools near Cincinnati made an offer I don't think he could refuse, and that's going to be our loss. So he's asked for May 1st, but certainly we can talk about that, and probably will later. But I just want to make sure the public knows from us. And I want to say thank you, Joe, for everything you've done for this district.
I just would like to personally say I appreciate all your years of service to Madison Plains, Joe. Appreciate your hard work and dedication. I'm going to read Joe Penny's letter of resignation right now. Dear Mr. Detweiler, please accept this letter as notice of my resignation from the position of Director of Operations. My last day of employment will be April 30th, 2018. It has been a pleasure serving the students and community of Madison Plains Local School District for the past 11 years. I have enjoyed working with a team of professionals that focuses on what is best for students. I am proud of what the district has accomplished over the past 11 years and believe this progress will continue in the future. Thank you again for the opportunity to serve Madison Plains School District. I wish everyone all the best. Sincerely, Joseph Penny.
Great. I have one other letter I'm going to read, and I'll say, have a little bit of a brief statement after that, if I can. This is to the Board of Education from me. Members of the Board, it is with both sorrow and excitement that I offer to you notice of my pending resignation due to retirement from the position of Superintendent at Madison Plains Local Schools. Spending the last 7 years of my professional life working towards making Madison Plains the educational choice for parents in Central Ohio has been the great joy of my professional career. We have accomplished so much, most notably increasing student enrollment and meeting our student growth targets, as defined with our Madison Plains Improvement Plan. These goals were met on time and lay the groundwork now for Madison Plains to direct its improvement energy towards increasing student achievement. The sorrow I feel comes from all the challenges Madison Plains faces that I will not be able to work towards meeting. I am, however, excited to begin my retirement and to seek out new professional challenges. I thank the current Madison Plains Board of Education as well as the boards I've served since May of 2010. I would also like to personally thank Boone Hall, Vicki Blosser, and all those I've worked with over the years as part of the Madison Plains family. My last day of service in Madison Plains as Superintendent of Schools will be July 6, 2018. One thing I want to say, make clear, this was a choice that I made for me and my family. And folks that have keyboard courage, that feel that they can pressure people to make decisions, they need to get involved, actively involved, not after the fact. Get involved as decisions are being made. Come to an impact meeting, share your thoughts. We have done everything you can possibly do in this district to listen to this community. We have a levy that has to get passed. This district will not survive as it is today if we don't pass this levy. Those people that have been passionate out there calling for my resignation and other people's resignation, they need to use the skills that they've honed in social media to go out there and get this levy passed. That's where we're at, folks. And I'm going to work my butt off to get this levy passed before I'm gone. And I hope those people will do the same. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to say to Tim and Joe, it's been a pleasure to work with you both. And Tim and I had a discussion earlier about something my mom told me, that you're known by the company you keep. And I'm proud to have kept their company. So they're two men of great character and professionalism.
Thank you, John. And Tim, I repeat the same thing. I appreciate all your hard work. And just to be clear, we've received both of these resignations. The board will, if we do choose to accept them, at the meeting next month. So this is simply you're presenting them to us.
Correct.
Next, to policy and governance. You want to touch on the calendar?
Yes. What we have before you is the public presentation. You're required to present the calendars for actually next school year, but we do 2 years at a time, for the community to give input. I believe one of the questions I received was, have the parents commented on this? Well, no, because this will be their first sighting of the calendars. So we are asking for the community to look at the calendars, give us feedback on anything they see that they want changed, and it will be considered. The teachers union, of course, has seen the calendar. They've given us some feedback. Some we implemented, some we did not. And of course, for the Board of Education, as you go through it, there's things that you want questions and say, why don't we do this and this? We'll be prepared to answer those at the next meeting, which you'll be voting on. So, and in the interim, we'll answer those questions. So again, this is just simply the public hearing.
Okay. Do you want our thoughts on it now, or do you want to wait till?
We'll take them now.
A couple things, and this is for all you guys too to open up to, but a couple things that I want to see is, not having a Monday through Friday spring break, how's that working? Do parents have any thoughts about that? Is, you know, just kind of what our logic is behind it.
The challenge is the parameters that we've given, and that's we start the third Monday of August, and we want to be done before Memorial Day. So when you put that in play, you've got so many days that you can teach, that you have to provide education for the kids. You also have in-service days, and when you start pressing that, there's days that are given up. And so spring break is typically one of those that if you have to give up days, you pinch that. We try to address Christmas break and keep that as long as we possibly can. So you start prioritizing those holiday breaks. It certainly can be done, but then you start looking at, are you going to pinch another holiday break, or are you going to extend your school year or even start earlier? So you kind of have that window that you can fit everything in. And that's why right now it's not a full week.
But it's really just one day shot because we've got another day on the back end. And those teacher in-service days, Amy Beeson's not here tonight, but one thing she talked about at the TOLS meeting last week was not having in-service meetings or in-service training the last 9 weeks of the year just because you don't necessarily be able to incorporate it. I don't know what, you know, what our policy is with that, but it made sense to me.
And it may make sense in their curriculum, but I don't believe it does in ours. And Karen and I had a conversation this afternoon about that, and She's very adamant that we still need to have.
She's getting up now.
I didn't know she. So I'll let her speak.
Mr. Detweiler's correct. We do work within the parameters with the calendar. One of the things that we were trying to avoid is starting the school year very early. So we've established that third Monday of August, which is offers our parents consistency. And of course, we're trying to get done before Memorial Day. As far as the in-service days go, those don't actually add any student days. It's not causing our students to be here longer or anything because we are on hours, not days.
Right.
So that issue is resolved in that way. And our school day is much longer than what the typical is. In regards to in-service days, if we could have an in-service day every month, we could use it, to be quite honest. The one in question during the last 9 weeks, that's actually an important one because of all the data collection that has to be done that is due in a timely manner. Student learning objectives, all of that data has to be scored and entered prior to May 1st according to state guidelines, and we have to report it to the state by May 10th. So just before the end of April, just at the end of April, we always incorporate one in-service day because otherwise there is no time for our teachers to do that work. And so the majority of that day is used for that purpose so that we can, that's just not work we can put on them on the last day of school on a teacher insert because it's already past the due date. And then of course then that will create either funding issues or report card issues, those types of things. And then we do use the rest of that day preparing for the next school year. So teachers may be meeting on curriculum mapping. If they have new curriculum that's coming in, that's a good time for us to introduce them to, or most of the time they've already been introduced to it, but have them work with that so they have a good handle on how the school year gets started. And we've done things like incorporate some of the trainings that are multi-year trainings, such as CPR training, that we want all of our teachers to get. So April this year will be a good catch for anybody who hasn't yet had that training as well. I know on face value it seems like an in-service day and the last 9 weeks of school isn't quite good, you know, but we actually need that one right there for those reasons.
All right. Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate the explanation.
Yeah.
Thank
you. I told you she's back.
Yeah, sure.
Any calendar questions?
And we'll take them right on up to the next meeting and consider them. And you can see how our process works. We get these questions. Karen and I sit down, the administrators as needed, to kind of walk through it and say, does it make sense? And if there's something that does, it's going to change dramatically. We reach back out to the membership, make sure that they're okay with it. So it's not just somebody sitting in a room putting together a calendar. So it's very much a collaborative effort. And that concludes my report until you get to your action items.
All right. So our section K, personnel. Approval.
Mr. President, I make a motion that my recommendation is superintendent the board for personnel items K2 through K3.
Discussion?
Second.
Yeah. And just to be clear, these are the two issues there, number two and number three. Supplemental contracts and the resignation of Jeff Stokes. You want to say something about him resigning?
Yes. Mr. Stokes was actively involved with our wrestling program and didn't feel he could dedicate the proper amount of time to this. Mrs. Pitstick stepped up and took the seventh grade program. So, I mean, it's happening. It's just Jeff's not able to do it.
All right. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Kroger?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Carey, 5-0.
Move to new business.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation, superintendent of the board approve business items L2 through L3.
Second.
Discussion. As far as that amount, it still is under what we voted, right? The marching band uniforms.
That's correct.
It's just a clarification.
That's right. The board authorized up to $18,000. And this will be $17,350.
Right. I think it's also important to point out we haven't allocated the entire amount within the BI fund to date. So increasing those appropriations, we still have room within those appropriations.
Yeah. And I'm just trying to be consistent with how I vote. This is purely talking about the appropriation that's already been approved. So that's why I'm supportive of it, you know, compared to what my initial vote was. Just not that anybody cares, but I just try to be consistent.
We care.
Right. Any other discussion? Right. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Sudeikis?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes. All right, next on to donations.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following donations as listed below.
Second.
Discussion.
I have a question on that. In regards to the two donations listed for class of 2017, class of 2010, going to the class of 2018, how many classes do we have with funds still in, or money still in their funds, so to speak?
Yeah, I'd have to look that up for you. The reason it came up now is because we had that advisor request to move those funds. So that's the standard procedure typically when a class has graduated. They designate where they would like their remaining funds to go. I can look up and get you that information.
Because we have a board policy that states that if the class fails to specify its intent to the board for disposal of such funds, that that decision basically is up to the board. And so that's why I was trying to figure out what is the history been in the past, or what are those funds? Do they stand there for, I graduated from Bishop Rhee, and funds in our class, you know, they're there for a reunion or so forth later. Does that stay that, or is that?
No, typically they're not used after the class has graduated. Typically those funds are dispersed when the class has graduated to wherever they specify. We have standard forms that allow them to do that.
Normally you have advisors that are watching that. If they don't spend it, then they call in and say, I'd like to have those funds put over in the
part of the
class.
Issue is one of the advisors was a person that had retired.
Mr. Jackson.
So. I was just curious because, you know, obviously a class from 7 years ago that still has funds in the account that they're giving, and I just didn't know what the process was.
Yeah, I can let you know what remaining balances there are, and then the board can participate in that cleanup.
Can you touch on that Staples Foundation?
Sure, yeah. I was approached by via email by our Staples representative saying that Madison Plains had been nominated by 18 of their employees for this $2 million and change grant that Staples administers nationwide. And they asked that I fill out the application. I did so, and we were chosen to receive this $2,500 award.
Excellent. We appreciate the community putting Madison Plains' name out there.
Absolutely.
And Madison Health, we will get that in the paper. I just want to make sure that the board saw it and we publicly announced it, and then we'll have we've already had the photo shoot. Now we just have to get it in the newspapers.
Was that for Friday? Is that the $4,000?
It was $10,000.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. It's to offset the cost of our athletic training.
Well, they gave us an additional $4,000 Friday.
That was the Martha Guy.
Right, so the Martha Guy. Right? Yeah. So they've already scheduled that for this next year. Not, you know, I'm a big supporter, and Christina Finney. And she's,
no.
No, we're not talking about that. She said no. Okay. We're doing that.
So we've got $10,000 for offsetting the trainer, $4,000 for that. So
okay.
The trainers perfect. For the next 4 years. So.
That's good.
That's
awesome. Any new agenda items?
We didn't vote.
I'm sorry. Yep. Roll call, please.
I didn't know. Did we have a motion in a second?
Yeah. Kelly and Tula.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Sinkers?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Perry, 5-0.
We do not.
There's no new agenda items, so we'll move to executive session. I move that we enter into executive session at 8:59 p.m. for the purpose of one of the, or more, 7:59 p.m. for one of the following reasons, as allowed by Section 1, to consider the appointment, employment, dismissal, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employee or official, for the investigation of charges or complaints against a public employer, official, licensee, or regulated individual. Section 4, preparing for, conducting, or reviewing negotiations, or bargaining session with public employees. Section 5, matters required to be kept confidential by law or rules or state statutes. Just to be a little more specific, one portion of those, there's other things to be considered there, is we're meeting with the auditor's office for an initial look at the performance report.
Second.
Yeah. We want to talk about the special meeting date before we let everybody go.
I think you should.
Yeah. So at this point, they're going to give us a PowerPoint presentation on their findings so far. It's not the final findings at this point. But before the next meeting, we'd like to actually get the report in our hand and have a special meeting to discuss it and then present it to the public at our next public meeting. So you guys look at your schedules if you got them.
I would point out also that the executive session for them to present is required. It's not our option. So this is not like the board or myself or Todd are saying, let's do an executive session. That's required by state law.
Right. It's a step to then present it in open session in March. The performance audit report by the state will be presented there, at least the plan at this time. What about,
are we looking at dates?
Yeah. Did they, Tim, did they give you an idea of when they will have it? I know we discussed that.
Yeah, I just was talking to Tim about that. I believe the early indication is that the final report, and Mr. Engel can correct me if I'm wrong, won't be available until March 15th.
Okay.
So that's a relatively small window between March 15th and March 20th to schedule a special meeting.
It's 2 days.
Correct.
Yeah, window.
Okay.
Is Mark Engels in the back? Mark, is that still a reasonable date?
March 15th is actually the federal police date, so you guys can have special session beforehand to discuss.
That week.
Okay. What date do you believe we will have the actual report?
Okay. All right. What do we tentatively March 6th? Tuesday, March 6th?
We have a finance meeting.
We can have it after. Or it's early enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
6 p.m.
Stop by dinner.
Yeah, you go.
Sounds good.
The 6.
Keep just talking about the financial.
6 p.m. Tuesday, March 6th.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
6 p.m., you said?
Yes. So back to the vote for executive session discussion. All right. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Foley?
Yes.
Mrs. Amicus?
Yes.
Mr. Bottas?
Yes.
Mr. Kroger?
Yes.
5-0. Executive session.
There'll be no action taken after executive session.
That's what I was thinking.
Can we take like a